This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. Lydia Bastianich is an Emmy Award-winning television host, a very successful chef and restaurateur, and a best-selling cookbook author. In person, she's warm and down-to-earth and happy to talk with anyone about food, especially the regional foods of Italy. Bastianich made her name by introducing American diners to the dishes of her Italian childhood. The food is both simple, think fresh ingredients cooked with common sense and love, and sophisticated, humble dishes like polenta and risotto elevated by a culinary twist or two to fine dining. From her flagship New York City restaurant comes Bastianich's latest cookbook, Felidia, and last month she was on tour to promote it. She stopped by the studio then and explained how she first fell in love with food.
Well, that takes really a trip back in history. I was born in Istria. Istria is no longer Italian, but that part, Istria and Dalmatia, was Italian. Second World War, Italy lost the war. And as spoils of war, that part, Istria and part of Dalmatia, was given to the newly formed communist Yugoslavia. That's in 1947 by the Paris Treaty. Now, the war ended in 44, but there was 3 years of kind of lingering. The Allied forces were there, just keeping peace and hopefully making the right decision whom to give what. And so I was born just around that time, and even being ethnically Italian, we remained behind the Iron Curtain. We got caught because I was just in that time. So my mother couldn't leave the Italians because there were 350,000 ethnic Italians that left Istria back into Italy, into the war, into the world after the World War II. But my mother was expecting me, and so here we were, and I was born. It was unique in a sense that, they changed our name. We couldn't speak Italian. We couldn't go to church. And so it was difficult for us ethnically Italian to live. My mother, she was an elementary school teacher. She put my brother and myself with grandma, which is in a little town about 2 kilometers away from the big town, Pula, where I was born. And there, grandma was responsible for feeding the immediate family. So we had chickens, we had ducks, we had rabbit, we had goats. I would milk the goats with grandma every morning. That was breakfast. We had 2 pigs. November, the slaughter, made prosciutto, made pancetta, made bacon, blood sausages. We made olive oil because we had some olive oil trees, and grandpa made olive oil. He made wine, but also the garden. I was grandma's little helper, sort of running things. But for 10 years, up until 10 years, I grew up in that setting of food, cooking with grandma, feeding the animals, the goat's milk. We had too much. We made ricotta. From the ricotta, we made a cake or frittole, the fritters, and so on. The garden, whatever yields seasonally, we ate. Otherwise, we stored it and dried it. And for the winter times, dried beans, we would shell. That would last us the whole winter. Dried figs, dried the raisins. We even made raisins. So for me, it was a very special place. And, it wasn't an idyllic place. I didn't feel the pressure of communism, even though my father was incarcerated because he was a mechanic. He had 2 trucks. They deemed him a capitalist. And my mother was under the regime, being a teacher, in teaching the dogma, the communist dogma. So in 1956, I was 10 by then, my parents decided that it was time to move on. And we had relatives on the other side of the border, Trieste. There was supposedly a sick aunt, and my brother, my mother, and I went to visit. They wouldn't allow the whole family to go because they knew that the family would remain. And so the 3 of us went, and about a week after my father arrived, he escaped. He had escaped the actual border, the barbed wire.
He cut his way through?
He slid under, and the dogs were chasing him. And I remember, him coming in the middle of the night and my mother crying. So it was a big event. But what happened is, and in retrospect later, that kind of explained, that's why you love food so much. I was, really, I remained kind of melancholic because I didn't say goodbye to grandma. I didn't say goodbye to my animals, to my friends. And food became kind of a connector for me. I got in the kitchen and I loved cooking with great aunt, just like I did with grandma, and repeat the flavors, the aromas that I recall from grandma. And I think that that was my connection to food, and food became my passion, my connector. And, you know, it gave me comfort, and it still does.
Did you ever get back to see your grandma?
I did. At 10 years thereafter, I saw my grandmother. She saw my children. So we did reconnect.
And did you cook together then, too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you remember what you made?
Oh, no, I don't remember. Yeah. But, you know, it's I remember hugging and kissing. And she smelled, you know, smells. So she smelled the same way that when I left her, you know, from because we had an open hearth and she would cook on the fire and, you know, work the land. And she still smelled from fire and smoke like I remember her.
And garlic and olive oil and
absolutely.
All of those wonderful
rosemary, smells. Bay
yes.
leaves.
Mm-hmm. All those delicious things. So when you came to the U.S. and you opened your first restaurant, it was 1981, and it was not an easy time for women to be running restaurants. I mean, we think of it now. There's so many women who are doing wonderful things mm-hmm. as chefs, but it was really rare. I remember not knowing about – I think you were the first female chef, maybe besides Julia Child.
Yeah, there were others, but yes, you're right. And just a little time correction. We opened our first restaurant in 71, my husband and I, and that was in the suburbs. And it was a small restaurant, nine tables. And I wasn't a chef, although I cooked there from Trieste. We ended up in a refugee camp for 2 years, and ultimately the Catholic Relief Services brought us to the United States in 58. And along the way, somehow I always ended up in kitchens and working in kitchens. So the first restaurant in 71, my husband, who was also an immigrant, was what we call the front of the house man. He was a maitre d', and he always wanted to open a restaurant. I said, well, you know, I'll help you. Let's do it. Food was in me by then. And we hired a chef, an Italian-American chef, and I became his sous chef because I wanted to learn. And for 10 years, I worked with him, went back to Italy, worked with chefs in Italy, and honed my skill as a chef. Then in 1981, by then we had two restaurants. We sold them both, and we opened Philidia in 1981. And that's where I became the chef. And yes, I was a young woman chef cooking Italian food because I felt that I should be cooking the regional food of Italy, the food that we ate at home, Italian-American, valiant cuisine, beautiful people still love it, but it is a cuisine of the Italian immigrants that came here. So it's quite different than what one finds in Italy. And so here I was, yes, a young woman chefs in Manhattan on 58th Street, still there, the restaurant. And as, you know, as a woman for me, first of all, I was with my husband, and so it wasn't all that. But also in Italy, women are chefs. It's, you know, it's not unusual to see even today. Maybe the starred restaurants have the male as a chef, but women are in the kitchen. So I felt quite comfortable in the kitchen. And I realized only when I began to go kind of out of my milieu, in a sense, going in to do events with the French chefs. And the difference, first of all, that there wasn't a lot of women in positions, at least in important positions in the restaurants. And I took notice of it. And we hired as many women as possible. But also, going on, I was one of the founders of Women Chefs and Restaurateurs, precisely sort of giving direction and helping women to reach a certain status in our industry. And what I feel to this day, I think the most wrong that is done to women is from the financial institutions. Because, you know, if you have the money, you open your restaurant, then you are in charge and you are. And from my experience in opening Philidia, almost not opening it because financially we went over budget and so on, how the bank, unless I brought my husband with me, would not consider me seriously. And so I think that till this day, women are shunned by the financial institutions, the banks, and so on.
And you have to have that in order to – most people don't have a deep enough pocket to open their own restaurant on their own.
Absolutely, because, yeah. you need either – you take a partner now. There's a lot of partnerships. But the bank, you know, if you do want to do a little something by yourself or even a little cafe, I think, which is wonderful, you know, and I encourage you, women, if you have that drive, you know, get yourself. You know what I tell women? I said, forget the gender issue. Think of professionality. Think about the profession and invest in yourself and be the best that you can at what you can do. Take the time and then go out there. And again, as a professional, not as a gender, as a professional, do your thing, do the best. And it will surface. If it's good and if you did the right thing, it will surface. So this kind of energy and to go out there and put themselves on the equal of any man chef.
What do you think for you was when you made the transition from cook to chef? And what do you think it was that made that transition?
Well, I think, you know, it took me those 10 years to realize the actual managing of a kitchen and the rhythm of a commercial kitchen, all that. As far as the food, I remained constant. I remain constant to that food that is cooked in Italian homes. That was my philosophy. Because what my goal was to unite my native culture with my adaptive culture, my new home now, to bring that, the food that I cooked at home, that I enjoy, and I knew that was the real cooking of a people, of the Italians. And so I continued, even when we opened, when I opened Falidia as a chef, and I started doing things like polenta, like risotto, like gyota. That was part of the curiosity and the interest of the journalist, of people in general, of customers. What is this Italian woman chef cooking here? And it was food, the reality of food in the regions of Italy.
You're kind of an institution now for those of us particularly who watch PBS and who grew up using your cookbooks, learning how to cook the food that you cooked as a girl and then as a young woman. Obviously, people have reacted really well to this, but what do you think people who weren't Italian were getting from it, who weren't coming from the same background that you had?
Well, Italian food is the number one ethnic food in America. It just people love it. And I think there's a genuine reason for that the Italian food is seasonal, is direct, is nutritionally sound, is balanced, you know, the Mediterranean diet, you know, vegetables, legumes, all of that, carbohydrates, all that plays a part. So there's a genuinity, an honesty in Italian food if cooked like it is in the homes of Italy. And I think that, you know, the interest of people in that is precisely that, to cook that kind of a food. So in the cookbook, Falidia, like the restaurant Falidia, one would say, well, what is the difference? And the restaurant is there 38 years, so there's been, you know, the recipes in this book are the favorites. But again, going back, my philosophy of cooking is the simple home recipes. In a restaurant situation, we elaborate on that a little bit, you know, because we want to give that extra service. We want to toss the pasta in front of the customer. We want to kind of debone a pheasant for two and so on down the line. So the restaurant, you kind of, because people in a restaurant setting pay for that, want the service, want the ambience. But in this book, I went retro, back to those simple recipes and made it quite accessible and doable for a home cook. So I would say that, you know, an average cook can cook 50, 60% of these recipes right off the bat.
What do you think are some of the mistakes that people make in the home kitchen when they approach a cuisine like this? Are they trying to cook too quickly? What would be some tips that you would give?
I think the first one is that they are insecure. They feel, oh, can I do this? And I think it's Go positive in the kitchen. Everybody can cook something. Everybody can come out. And it's not the end of the world, you know. Like in any profession, you begin with a dish, then the second time is better, the third time is better. So I think self-confidence. And another one that I always, common sense. You know, the kitchen is a lot about common sense. If you feel that you should be doing something, chances are that you should be doing that. But I think if they approach a recipe, my recommendations are to read the recipe thoroughly, to read what the instructions are, and to already familiarize themselves with that. Then choose a recipe that doesn't have that many ingredients. Don't make it a big challenge right off the bat. And pull all the recipes out, buy them, and then begin. By now you have read the instruction, and then get in the kitchen and make it happen. And what I encourage beyond that, the chances are that it will come out pretty good if you follow. You know, you put the book there and you follow. But what the beauty of something like this is that you begin with the simplicity and sort of starting that, and I encourage it, that at some point, oh, she says chicken here. Can I put pork? And yes, you can. Most likely you can. This liberty of adding or subtracting and making the recipes your own. You know, yes, you have to pay attention because pork needs more cooking time than chicken, so maybe a little bit more saucy until it cooks, so that common sense enters in there. But this comfort and this, because I get a lot on my emails, on my site and on Instagram, Lydia, you empower me. It's not, you know, I just tell you that you can do it and it's simple to do it and go ahead and do it, encouraging.
You grew up in this tradition, you grew up in this culture, but what do you think it is about regional Italian cooking that appeals to so many different people in so many different cultures?
The products themselves, the traditional products that go beyond just, you know, you have your products in seasons, whether the vegetables, the fruits, and those really the Italians take care to really grow their vegetable. And every region is different, you know, because it has different climactic. Someplace you have the purple artichoke, someplace you have the big, the small artichokes, and each one cooks them different. So I think it's the product itself. It is the artisanal products. It's what Italian through the time have made products to last, you know, the cheeses, the grana padano, the parmigiano, the gorgonzola, the mozzarella to the south, you know, the buffalo mozzarella now. So those are all ingredients that, you know, if you put a buffalo mozzarella on the table and you put a few slices of prosciutto di Parma, di Friuli, you have a real Italian meal without having cooked anything, and very diverse and very good and flavorful. So all of this brings flavor to when you're cooking. You know, so it's the genuine products, new products that are grown, then the products, the artisanal products that are made, the combination of those. And, you know, I think the pasta, the starch combinations, with all of this kind of really brings forth, because, you know, pasta or rice or polenta, a great carbohydrate carrier of flavors. And not necessarily do you need so much proteins and so much meat, and hence a healthy diet, a Mediterranean diet. I'm in the restaurant business, oh my God, 40 somewhat years. And I always think, how can I present my plates healthier? What I would like to do is put one third of the protein and two thirds vegetable and legumes. But in America, still, the focus is on value is the protein. And so, you know, you go to Italy, you see, you know, a little piece of, and by the end of the meal, you have enough.
Yeah.
And also pasta, due forchettate, two forkful, not a big mound of pasta. So it's the way the Italians eat also. And I think that the joy that is found by Italians getting around the table. People want that joy. On my sites, they come and they say, oh, Lydia, I'm cooking, I'm making this platters of chicken or whatever, and the family comes to the table. So I think it is all of those elements that make Italian cooking maybe one of the favorites.
It is that joy. And it's bringing people together, which, of course, we have to eat to live, but it's so much better when it infuses joy in us as well.
But I think it's actually a necessary element in our lives, especially now. We are so divided in a sense because of the way things are. Even the little iPhone, I have 5 grandkids and you talk to them, oh, I have 2,000 friends, 3,000. Yes, but at the end of the day, you're alone with the thing in your hands. So come to the table, let's sit down, let's get the family, let's get your friends, and let's eat something and let's talk. And I think the table is an extraordinary place to exchange just that, the exchange that happens between human beings.
Lydia Bastianich, it has been such an honor having you in the studio. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you for having me. A pleasure.
Lydia Bastianich is an Emmy Award-winning public television host, chef, restaurateur, and author. Her latest cookbook is Philidia, Recipes from My Flagship Restaurant. Bastianich was on tour in Milwaukee last month, and she stopped by the studio to talk with us then. There is more information about her and her books at wuwm.com.